You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. Between 2016 and 2018, Michigan lawmakers budgeted more than $5 million in aid for private schools. That money was meant to help fund state mandates outside of instruction, things like fire drills and safety inspections. But the money was never spent. It was challenged in court by a coalition of plaintiffs, including the Michigan ACLU. Later this year, the Michigan Supreme Court is expected to hear the case and consider whether it violates the state's constitutional ban on public money going to private schools. Michigan's not the only state wrestling with this question. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court hears a separate case out of Montana that could have some ramifications here. With us to discuss the case is Education Week reporter Mark Walsh. Mark, welcome.
Good to be here.
Can you give us a quick overview of the U.S. Supreme Court case, Espinoza versus Montana Department of Revenue?
Sure. So in this case, it involves a program adopted by the Montana legislature to create a state tax credit. It's a very modest program, $150 tax credit if you donate to a private scholarship fund. And then those scholarship funds pass along that money to students in private schools. Even there's some public school uses under that program. So it's sort of like a voucher program, but slightly different. And quite a few states have programs like this now. And that's what's at issue in this case. The State Department of Revenue said, hey, here in Montana, we have a provision of the state constitution similar to the one in Michigan's constitution that says, you know, we can't provide support for private schools. So we're going to say this tax credit and these scholarships can't go to private schools. Well, then that kind of administrative bureaucratic rule was challenged in court by some parents and families who did want to use their scholarships at religious schools. And then that went to the Montana Supreme Court, which kind of struck down the whole program, said there is this problem with our state constitutional provision really doesn't allow this, and we can't really have the whole program. And now the U.S. Supreme Court has decided to take that up.
If we can pivot just for a minute to the Michigan Supreme Court case, a group of religious and private school groups filed an amicus brief in that case late last year, asking it to strike down Michigan's ban on taxpayer money going to private schools, arguing that it violates the U.S. Constitution's Free Exercise Clause because the amendment was motivated by anti-Catholic bias. This issue has also been raised in briefs supporting the Espinoza plaintiffs for the case before the U.S. Supreme Court. How likely is the High Court to address that particular angle?
Well, I think the court is going to address that issue. It's actually quite, you know, central to the Montana case because there's really no way to save that Montana program or to allow any such program in Montana to be adopted without striking down the state constitutional provision. Now, there are ways the U.S. Supreme Court could take more of a baby step approach to that without saying that all these state constitutional provisions must fall.
There was another significant case involving public funds going to religious institutions that came before the U.S. Supreme Court back in 2017. It's Trinity Lutheran Church of Columbia versus Comer. It found that the state of Missouri could not withhold publicly available grants to faith organizations based on the fact that they're religious. How are these cases changing the national conversation about state bans for funding to private or religious schools?
So Trinity Lutheran, one key difference there, and that was where, you know, there was a program for using scrap rubber to make safe rubberized playgrounds, and a church applied for some of the funds and ranked pretty high and should have gotten a grant, but the state said, well, we just can't give it to a religious organization or to a church in a church school. And in the U.S. Supreme Court in that case said that was religious discrimination. But the court stopped short of saying that it would apply where religious activity was involved, because here it was a playground. But once you get to education, you're getting a lot closer to the question of funding religious instruction and religious activity. And that's going to be much more prevalent in the Montana case. And that could have implications in other states like Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Since the court saw the Trinity case in 2017, Justice Brett Kavanaugh has joined the court, taking the place of Justice Anthony Kennedy. What are court watchers saying about what that might mean for the Montana case?
I think it will be interesting because Justice Kavanaugh, before he was on the bench, had some instances where he was involved in promoting school choice. In Florida, he worked on helping to defend a program that involved just this kind of voucher or scholarship program that are involved in some of the other states. So that doesn't guarantee how he might vote in a particular case. But I think, most court watchers are saying that the conservative side, which is maybe the side you would describe as being in favor of allowing more school choice, more aid to religious schools, probably is starting out in a pretty good spot.
Michigan's constitution bans taxpayer funds going to all private schools, not just religious ones. It's a little bit different than the Montana ban, which speaks specifically to religious schools. But it seems like a ruling of that kind could still impact the Michigan case, right?
Well, I think the ruling could. And that's why I think looking at some of the arguments that have been raised in your Michigan case, I've seen some arguments on both sides. One is that, yes, this is a little different because there's really can be no discrimination here in this kind of aid that you're talking about in Michigan of, for state-required functions because we require those things of all private schools. So where's the discrimination? And the argument I've seen on the other side is that, well, this whole constitutional provision, which only dates, I think, to like 1970, was animated by bias towards religious schools, towards Catholic schools. Obviously, in Michigan, you have a lot of those. What's most interesting to me about this is your Michigan Supreme Court will have at least the benefit of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in the Montana case, and that may help inform your Michigan Supreme Court decision.
Well, Mark, we're looking forward to following your coverage on these cases. Thank you for taking some time with us.
It was a pleasure to be here.
Mark Walsh is a reporter for Education Week. Representing the Michigan Supreme Court case is Dan Korobkin. He's the legal director of the ACLU of Michigan, and he joins us now in studio. Dan, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me on.
So these two cases are very different. The Montana one has to do with a tax credit, and the Michigan case deals with $5 million in direct aid. But they're both dealing with public money going to private schools. How much bearing do you think the Espinoza ruling will have on the case that you're arguing at the state Supreme Court later this year?
Yeah, I ultimately don't think it's going to have a big bearing on the case that we have. In the Montana case, the question is whether the state can fund secular private schools at the same time that it does not fund religious private schools. The Constitution in Montana prohibits public money from being used just for religious schools. And our case is different because the Michigan Constitution, which was this provision adopted by voters in 1970, says that we can't fund any private schools, religious or non-religious. So that's not discrimination against religion. It's a policy choice by Michigan's voters to reserve education funding for public schools.
Would you say that's the key difference between the two cases?
Yeah, that's absolutely central here is, this part of the Michigan Constitution came about when there was a real crisis in funding for public schools. And the purpose of this provision in the Michigan Constitution is to say, look, we've got limited tax dollars, and our tax dollars for education are going to go to public education. So whether you're a private school that's religious or a private school that has no religious affiliation in Michigan, you have to raise your money privately through tuition or through donations from donors, but you can't get public tax dollars. The case that the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing now in Montana is really a case about whether the state can say we're not going to use any taxpayer dollars for religious purposes or religious funding.
An amicus brief that was filed for the Michigan case is asking the state Supreme Court to consider whether the Michigan ban violates the U.S. Constitution because it was written with an anti-Catholic bias. We noticed a parallel argument in amicus briefs for the Espinoza case at the Supreme Court. Do you think it's likely that the case you're working on will bring the court to that question?
Well, I think the Michigan Supreme Court will probably have to take a look at whether those arguments really were developed and presented in the lower courts in this case, and they weren't. So I'd be surprised if the court wanted to take those up as a brand new issue they wanted to look at. But regardless of whether they do or when that issue comes up, the historical record in Michigan really doesn't bear that out. There are historians who talk about the addition of constitutional no funding provisions in other states in the late 19th century and early 20th century that were known as so-called Blaine Amendments, named after a congressman from the 19th century named James G. Blaine. And those amendments are thought historically in other states to be the product of fear and reaction to a larger growing Catholic population in those states. In Michigan, however, the provision that's being debated right now in the courts came into the Michigan Constitution by the voters in 1970. And that election in 1970 and that addition of that constitutional provision was really a completely separate historical situation and was really, as I said, about preserving public funding for public schools. The electorate at that time was very concerned that if public funding was diverted away from public schools, it would weaken our public education system. And they voted by overwhelming majority to keep public funding in public schools. And that's actually what Michigan citizens have decided to do again and again in several elections since then. So the history there in Michigan is completely different from the history that we're talking about in some of the other states.
There was a ruling in 2017 at the U.S. Supreme Court that held a state denying a grant for a playground resurfacing to a religious institution, a grant that was available to secular groups, violated the Constitution. Do you expect that these kinds of challenges to state bans on public money for private schools to keep coming?
Yes, that is the pattern that we're seeing, is that when a state allows public funding to be used for a secular purpose, but then does not allow the same public funding to be used for the same general thing, but for a religious organization or institution, that the U.S. Supreme Court is seeing that as a form of the denial of free exercise of religion or some sort of discrimination against religion. And that is probably what we're going to be seeing the arguments focus on in the Montana case about school funding too. In Michigan, when we're dealing with public funding for private schools, the Michigan Constitution and the rule that's at issue here does not discriminate between private schools that are religious and private schools that are secular. And so that issue doesn't really come up. But you're absolutely right. You know, we used to have a series of U.S. Supreme Court cases all about the idea that the state has to be very careful about not funding religion in order to maintain that separation between church and state that's at the core of our Constitution. But more recently, the U.S. Supreme Court has gotten more conservative, and they've started to move away from not the rule against funding religious purposes toward a different kind of pattern, which is saying, oh, you know, in some situations, you might actually be required to fund religious institutions if you're funding non-religious institutions for the same kind of thing.
What will you be watching for in the court's decision when it rules on Espinoza?
What I think we're going to be looking for in the Espinoza decision is what the Supreme Court thinks about funding that is going to schools where the actual money could be used for religious purposes.
Not resurfacing a playground or other kinds of capital concerns.
That's right. You know, there's a difference between when taxpayer dollars goes to actually pay a teacher who's teaching a religious class, for example. That's a situation where the taxpayer money is actually being used for a religious purpose and a religious exercise. And there's a difference between that, right, and something where a school building has to get has to have its parking lot resurfaced. And yes, the school building is a religious institution, but you know, resurfacing a parking lot isn't really a religious activity. So we're going to be looking to see if the Supreme Court is, you know, cognizant of that that difference to make sure that that separation between church and state is maintained when it comes to the funding of different institutions and activities.
Are there any potential outcomes for the Espinoza case that could change your strategy later this year at the state Supreme Court?
I don't think so. You know, one thing that we know is probably going to be discussed at the in the Michigan case is the history behind the various provisions in the Michigan Constitution that are at issue. And we'll probably start to get a sense of how much the justices of the U.S. Supreme Court or the Michigan Supreme Court want to delve into the historical record. Right now, in our case, we were just focusing on the text of the Constitution, what the words actually said. But if the justices decide that in the future they're going to be really interested in what the history was behind the different constitutional enactments that came about, that could be an issue in future cases that is going to have to be delved into and developed.
You know, it sounds like you're saying that there might be room within the law for public money to private schools in Michigan for instruction as long as it doesn't explicitly fund religious instruction. That sounds like a pretty big precedent.
Well, that's not the case under Michigan's constitution. You're absolutely right. In some states where the constitutional protections under state law are not as strong, we might start to see courts moving in the direction that you just mentioned, saying that funding could be used for religious institutions but non-religious purposes. But in the Michigan Constitution, it actually says right there in plain text that taxpayer dollars cannot be used for any private schools at all. And so that means it really doesn't matter whether the private schools want the money to pay their teachers, to build their buildings, to buy better chalkboards for the classroom. The money that's taxpayer dollars has to go to public schools in Michigan, not private schools. You know, public schools, they're willing to educate everyone. Rich or poor, black or white, gay or straight or trans, Jewish, Catholic, Muslim, Hindu, we don't have that guarantee with private schools, which is why taxpayer dollars should be reserved for public education. That's what the voters of Michigan wanted to make sure of in 1970 when they passed this initiative, and it remains true today. There were measures on the ballot just in the last 10 or 20 years over school vouchers, and Michigan voters have rejected those. And I think that reflects a commitment by Michiganders to maintain public funding for public schools. And of course, if anyone wants to send their child to a private school, whether it be a religious private school or a non-religious private school, that's absolutely their choice. But when it comes to public funding, those should be for public education.
Dan Korobkin is legal director of the Michigan ACLU. Dan, thanks for stopping in today.
Thanks so much for having me on.